Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 97.
And if you might have found our card or some other link tree spammed in a sub promo on Discord or wherever on the internet, you might have heard of us. Welcome.
Welcome, random people.
Yep. But hey, it's been a month since we've been here in the office recording
life, an episode. Life is lifed.
Yep. Because what today's episode is about kind of just got right in the middle of all that. So we're like, Hey, we're just going to focus on that. And then when our next episode was supposed to come out was on our 10th anniversary. So I told Sarah, don't worry about it this week.
Yep.
So, and we almost took the month of July off and I was like, no, we'll come back with Stimson Hospital.
Yeah.
So yeah, there it is. That's what this episode is about is our private investigation at the Stimson Hospital in Eaton Rapids, Michigan.
Yes.
So we actually won this private investigation back in April.
Was it April?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we went to the fundraiser for Dead Time Stories, the sequel in Charlotte, Michigan. Not Charlotte, like we thought forever.
Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they could open up their second store, because it's Sarah's favorite store in the world.
Favorite. My most favorite.
Yep, because if you've never been into Lansing, Michigan, or Rio Town, or EO Town, we'll just say both of those to cover our bases in case somebody's like, no, that's wrong. There, I said it both ways. But might like somebody will come out of the woodworks like, no, it's actually said this way. And like the E's like silent as like Row Town or something. But anyway, go check out Dead Time Stories and the Screamatorium in Lansing, Michigan. Yes. And the sequel store, much smaller, I forget what county museum it is. It's in Charlotte, Michigan. So look up Dead Time Stories Charlotte, Michigan on Google, and it'll take you right
to it. I think
it's
Courthouse Square.
Yeah, the Courthouse Square Museum, which that is one of those places I would like to get into.
Yeah. Hopefully with much less people.
Much less people and more time to act with actual investigation time.
Yes.
So, because, a little bit we played with apps in there, it's like, hey, there's definitely some fun stuff going on here.
I told the owner of Dead Time Stories in one of the posts that she had made, like, if you ever make one closer to the Michigan-Indiana border, if it's in, like, 45 minutes driving distance, I will work that bitch for free. I just want to be a part of it.
Well, we can't have you working there for free.
Well.
Even though half your check would be spent on
It would be volunteering.
Be volunteering for a retail store. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sure they would love that, but anyhow. So as I was saying, we won this private investigation as part of the fundraiser for our second store opening to help them get like the paint, the bookcases, all that stuff.
Yep.
So
the essentials.
Mm-hmm. And I kept getting in a bidding war with one lady. So I was like, all right, I'm going nuclear. I'm going to go half of what the value of this thing is. And I ended up winning. So
I thought you paid the full value of
it. That's as far as I was going to go was paying the full value of it.
Okay.
Because I had enough with me to go up to the full value. And if it actually reached that, I wasn't going past that. It's like they can have it at that point.
Yeah.
Because some of the other places, it's like way more than what the value of it was. To get an investigation going on. Like, there was some miscommunications between the owners of the two things about that. But luckily, the owners of the Stimson Hospital worked with us.
Yeah, they were really awesome about that.
I shouldn't with all that about the miscommunication that was going on. So they worked with us on that. So they're really super cool people about that. Mm-hmm. So Pam and Chris Durdle, if you guys are listening to this, because I did leave you guys a card, thank you for being so flexible with and working on us for us to being able to come up there.
Yes, thank you very much.
So when I finally made the final arrangements, I didn't think about it because of what also goes on that weekend here where the Emporium's located, and it's usually hot as balls. So I think that's a huge factor into why I didn't focus on a lot, like, because you've other places we've been, you can probably tell how focused I am in on other shit compared to what I was there.
Yeah.
Because of how hot it was that day. It was like, what, 87 was the high with like a stupid amount percent of humidity?
With humidity, I believe they said the actual feels like temperature was 100.
Right.
It was fucking hot and muggy. And it was hotter than, hot as balls, like it was hotter than Satan's taint. It was fucking hot. Right.
Like, the only relief we could get was like going outside, and that wasn't much. Or going into Sarah's car, because we did take that, but we didn't want to keep running her car just to do that, and possibly was so get sick from going hot cold or whatever. But you know, but if, when the people of Eaton Rapids, Michigan, the few that we did interact outside, super friendly little town, because anybody that would walk by, they're like, hi, how's it going? You know, I mean, they all know what this building is, and I'm sure they knew why we were there, so they're being super friendly about it.
Oh, when we were standing out on the porch,
I mean. There's two kids dressed in all black, and they're like, oh, there's another group of weirdos at the hospital again.
that's a small group, but a group of weirdos nonetheless.
Right.
Yeah, it was just you and I.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yes.
We should probably get into this, talking about the actual investigation and whatnot. So first, we're going to start with talking about the hospital itself so we understand where we're going. So I did before I actually, apparently Eaton Rapids is super haunted. I got on Facebook and I was like, I just put a search, like I first Googled Stimson Hospital, then a Facebook group came up for Eaton Rapids history. So I started just going through that. So I put in the search for there, Stimson Hospital, but there's like all sorts of ghost stories inside of Eaton Rapids. So I don't know. Well,
the hotel that we stayed at, the person that checked us in did say, yeah, there's a lot of that around here.
Right.
So
maybe they meant Eaton Rapids all together. I don't know. But just a little different little thing. So it seems like general consensus about Eaton Rapids, that town is super haunted, apparently. Because there's just all different little things from hearing, you know, your normal stuff, like hearing train whistles in the middle of the night for train tracks that no longer exist and things like that. I didn't, like, because you know me, I would have gone off on a whole other path when I'm trying to get notes ready for this. So I don't know, maybe we'll have to look into more stuff in Eaton Rapids, but
so anyhow. You're saying you would have been derailed.
Oh, hold on. Nope, I don't have that. I got rid of off this
page. The one time it's okay to use it.
Oh wait, hold on, it is still in here.
Do it.
All right,
I deserve that. Yay.
Okay,
it was so delight.
So we first arrive. What was your first thoughts when you seen all this building?
That it was fucking massive. Well, looking at it from the outside, you're asking?
So actually, let's go back. So the day of the fundraiser, we met with your dad for your birthday.
Yeah.
Farther east, all right? And just by chance, before we even knew that this place was going to be up for a fundraiser event, our GPS took us right past it. And then what was your first thoughts then driving past it? Yeah, literally, I was like, hey, there's that Stimson Hospital that's up for the
And I'm pretty sure that it was my response.
Yeah, that was your response. When we're like, ew, that you do when you're goofing around is more or less what you really did. Yeah, that one when you're goofing around.
Yep.
So, like, of course, if you want to see a picture of this hospital from the outside currently and in the past, just search Stimson Hospital on Google. So all sorts of pictures are going to come up.
Yep. And videos of other paranormal teams going in there and stuff.
So, other than being hotter than Satan's taint, as you put it that day, it's like, what was your first impression seeing this building?
Like, once we actually got out of the vehicle and, like, got to look at the outside of it, like, it's huge.
Yeah.
And it looks as creepy on the outside. Not in a bad, like, a bad creepy, but just like, yeah, some shit's happened here. Just, yeah, it gave off a vibe of...
I think a lot of it has to do with that tower in the front.
It could be.
It makes you think Adam's family at first when you see it. It could be.
But yeah.
That or Bates, the house behind the Bates Motel, maybe one of those two, because they had that long tower on them both.
I could see back, like, in its prime, it was probably an absolutely gorgeous facility.
Yep. That's actually part of their goal, is trying to get back to the original as they possibly can. But also, the mansion itself that it's first started off as was originally built in 1868 by John T. Sweezy, a con artist from New York City, and it would be completed in 1874. Sweezy, according to Chris Sturgill, who currently co-owns the hospital with his wife, said in one of the interviews that Sweezy would start a business in town, attract a group of investors, and then leave town with their money. The people of Eaton Rapids would chase Sweezy out of town in 1850. In between this event and 1918, it was purchased by a dentist. I saw his name in one of the interviews, that one of the other many paranormal, there's way too many paranormal investigation teams out there that I look through videos. I'm not trying to take their information. I didn't think about it. I'm sorry if you guys hear this. I didn't mean to not give you guys credit, but I appreciate you guys doing the interview because I and Sarah here, we're still learning everything.
Yeah.
So we didn't think about it at the time to do video interview with Chris himself at the time. Cause you know, I'm like, let's get going, you know, but.
And also it was just so hot that like, I would have felt bad making him stay to just walk us around and like talk about everything.
Right.
Like, dude, just go get your car. It's fucking hot in here.
So between it was a mansion and it was owned by a dentist. And then 1918, at the end of the Spanish flu pandemic, nurse Harriet Chapman, whose family was in the coal industry, that approached in 1918 towards the end of the Spanish flu epidemic. Nurse Harriet Chapman, whose family was big in the coal industry in the state of Michigan, approached the current owner, a dentist, to convert the mansion into a hospital. And this project took 6 months to complete. When it was finished, it would be a 20-bed hospital. Because Eaton Rapids is kind of middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, like, today, it's by modern vehicle, it's 20 minutes straight shot south from Lansing there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1918, we're not, motor vehicles aren't nearly where they are now today. So we're talking like probably over an hour, if not longer.
Maybe.
Stimson Hospital was one of the first hospitals in the state of Michigan to have an x-ray machine. And they were also one of the first hospitals to able to perform C-sections where the child and mother both would survive.
Oh, dang.
So Stimson Hospital was actually state-of-the-art for its time.
Okay.
While it was a hospital, approximately 4,000 people were born there, and that was one thing that came up when I was looking through that group. A lot of people were like, I was born here. When I was walking around with Chris, the owner, about it, when he was talking about, like, in the maternity ward, he did mention that when there was an influx of babies being born, they would get banana crates from, like, the local market and use them as makeshift cribs and then just kind of, not chucked him. He said down into a dumbwaiter down to this first floor to where other mothers were. You're on FaceTime with us.
I don't know how I missed that, but like I just had the image in my head of these babies in these crates just being like, bloop, there you go.
Just tossed in a crate and chucked on an elevator.
Chucked it in the fuck it bucket for sure.
And see, Chris was actually a super cool dude. Like, he kept saying, it's like, if you guys die here, you're going to become part of an American Horror Story. And
you'll be part of the next tour.
you'll be part of our American Horror Story and part of the next tour. And I told him, I was like, well, I'm going to be pretty bored, so I'll make sure to play it up so more people come. But also, approximately 2,500 people also died in this hospital. It would remain a hospital until 1957 when a new code in the state of Michigan required hospitals to have an exterior metal staircase for a fire escape. From here, it would be a boarding house until it became a private apartments in 1970. Harriet Chapman, Dr. Stimson, and Dr. Blanchard would all die in the walls of the Stimson Hospital. Harriet Chapman, the one that started the hospital altogether when it was originally Chapman Hospital, she died from a brain aneurysm and was a patient there for 6 months before she died. I asked them if they knew, and they said they believe it was brain related. They do believe it was brain aneurysm, but because of the age of her death certificate, it's very hard to read. Dr. Charles Stimson would die from a heart attack in his office in 1943. And Dr. Francis Blanchard, he would have one of the more tragic deaths on the property. Granted, yes, this is a hospital, so you have people dying from farm accidents, fires, murder, all sorts of way people's lives, you know, lights are put out. Or extinguished, basically. But he would fall to his death 6 months after starting at the hospital, and he fell 40 feet from the third floor to the basement because the elevator was parked in maintenance mode and literally landed on his face. And Dr. Stimson was down in the basement either performing some kind of procedure or doing an autopsy in the morgue right next to where he landed and got to Dr. Blanchard just in time before he died.
Yeah.
And saw, when, like, literally, you know, saw the life leave his eyes. And also Dr. Blanchard had also lived somewhat of a tragic life. Both of his two wives died under his care during surgery. One of them was with child. He also was hit by a train in his Model T Ford, either coming to or from the hospital. I put it in here, but I forgot to put it if it was to or from the hospital or if that was related.
Clearly he survived.
Yeah. Sturgills would buy the property in 2017. They would first attempt to rent out the apartments because that was the building's current configuration. But the local people, knowing the building's history, they would decline once they arrive and see what the address was and where these apartments were for rent. Like in the videos, Chris said the renters were pretty much like, fuck that, and then would leave once they realized it's the Stimson Hospital that was where these were rent. And of course, that was one of those also things that people came up with about things that saw that they're in apartments. A lot of comments were like, I had a friend that lived there. Now there's a lot of weird stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So instead of renting out these apartments, they now have a goal of turning the hospital into a paranormal bed and breakfast for paranormal investigators to be able to stay the night. The Sturgills are also paranormal investigators themselves with a combined year of 18 years experience. Those who lived here while it was apartments would say their children would be playing with their imaginary friend, Dr. Blanchard.
Oh.
Chris has also caught elevator sounds upstairs in the third floor where the mechanical gear was. He put his own studio mics up there and caught mechanical sounds and said that there's absolutely no reason why these metallic clicking sounds should be happening up there. The only thing that's up there is like pipes and the gear and everything. They're non-functional, but in the video you could hear distinct metal clicks and whatnot, like gears turning on and whatnot and moving. Also, conversations can be heard in other rooms from the one rooms adjacent to where you are. Shadow figures would also be spotted, child and adult size. Some visitors have had experiences like feeling violently ill while in certain areas. Some women have also felt the weight of someone sitting on their legs and their legs would go numb, like, or freezing cold.
Hmm.
But also, they have a small collection of bodies, which I'm sure they're going to expand on, which we did have some interactions with those things.
Or at least more so,
I should say I did.
Yeah.
So after we arrive and Chris answers the door, he gives us the tour and whatnot. Like, I did some investigating into this property ahead of time, just so I knew what we were getting ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
So they have in their possession, lack of a better term, or coexisting, if we might want to say with this, is the doll of an Indian prince, that's like 130 years old, and there's a spirit of a Dia that resides in this doll. And they said that if you want to interact, you can take pictures with her, read her plaque and everything, and you're fine. But if you want her to interact with you, you have to leave an offering of sorts. And if you do not, she will give you night terrors for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the videos, there's one specific room she was sitting in and whatnot. So when Chris is giving me the tour of the second floor, Sarah stays downstairs because, you know, some of you might know that Sarah has some issues with her back, so she doesn't do stairs very well. So I FaceTimed her from the second floor so she can serve her back from going up and downstairs. Chris is explaining all the different rooms, what they were in the hospital to me. Like, the very front room was like the main patient ward. One side room where Dia used to be at was the maternity ward. Like, I have no idea where she is. So he's like explaining this room, that room, and this room. There's one particular room that was a general patient ward. As soon as you cross that threshold, you can feel the heaviness of this room. And Sarah probably might remember this now. When we walked in that room, I said to him, she's in here, isn't she? He's like, yeah, she's around the corner. No idea where she was at in the building. As soon as I crossed that threshold, I could feel the heaviness come down on me. And I was like, she's in this room, isn't she? She's like, yep, she's around the corner right there.
Oh, God. I do remember that, though.
Mm-hmm. He's also showed evidence of somebody that was taking, just snapping pictures with a digital camera where they caught the shape of a pregnant woman in the shadow about where standing by what's now like a closet for that bedroom with a really nice four-post bed in that room. They even said if we would like to, we could stay the night, probably if it wasn't so damn hot. Sarah's still no on that.
I paid for a hotel room. I'll go back to the hotel. If you want to sleep here on the bed by yourself with the demon doll in the corner, like,
that's one of these days, I'll get her to say, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to stay the night at one of these places that we're offered. This will be, because there was the very first time we went to Bell Mansion that we were offered the overnight. She was like, you can stay, but I'm going to go back to my sister's house.
Yeah, sure the fuck did.
So some of the other things they have, like, there was a, like, they have a very large doll collection, of course, you know, yes, this kind of place has one of those. And they had various different medical instruments, and he explained this to, you know, what a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has a voodoo doll that was also either to be believed to be made by Marie Laveau herself or under her guidance due to its complexity. That thing will come back into play here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what bone piece he said that was that?
Oh God, no, I don't.
Okay. So what we're talking about, he also pointed out one of the other things in his collection was they have a piece of bone that was smuggled out of the Paris catacombs. So I was like, oh, cool. Maybe we'll get some really interesting things with this.
Mm-hmm.
But also they have one doll there that was given to them by people of goodwill because this doll would move around the store after closing hours.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Which one was that?
I don't remember which one it was.
And
knowing Sarah's history with the dolls, we just kind of stayed out of that room. Even the little light, you can't turn the lights off in that room. That's one of the one room with a lot of the antique medical equipment. Mm-hmm. He explained a lot of that stuff that was interesting to see. So after we finally said our goodbyes with Chris, we went outside and we started talking about where we're going to start going to do stuff. So our first spot we were going to decide to do was the room that has the voodoo doll and some of the other oddities. I'm talking to Sarah as I walk in and back around the corner to start getting stuff unpacked. I make some kind of joke. I laugh, but Sarah had an experience as soon as she walked in the door.
Oh, yeah. So like you walked in ahead of me. And I went in right after you did. You had gone to the right to where we had our drinks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just come through the door. And I was like, what'd you say? And you didn't say, like, you didn't say anything.
Right.
You said, I didn't say anything. I shit you not. I heard a man's voice. And it sounded like he would have been, like, a room or two away that said, hello. Maybe a patient walking into the hospital, like a doctor would have been, you know, greeting him. Hello. And you said it wasn't you.
Yeah, because I was just doing some kind of chuckle because of some stupid joke I had made to you. Mm-hmm. And I was by my bags getting my bag to start getting things unpacked when this happened.
Yeah.
We're literally a room apart when this happened.
We're probably 10, 15 feet apart.
Right. In separate rooms. And she heard this.
And I said, did you hear that? And he said, nope.
Yeah,
you didn't hear it really?
Nope.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So that was the first thing that
I found. My first thought was, of course, another one of those instances when I have nothing recorded.
Maybe it wasn't meant to be recorded.
True. I mean, also like when we first discovered Andy came downstairs with us at the Bell Mansion, which I need to get around to listening to all that. But that's like way more audio to be listening to.
Yeah.
Compared to this one. So after us discussing that, it was time to get ready. So I don't remember what he called what that room was, but I do remember it was originally the porch, but I don't remember what it was for the hospital. This is like where the big cabinet with all his bones are in and the voodoo dolls in this room. There's a bunch of medical stuff in this room. It's like their main lobby for the hospital now as it stands. So we sit in opposite corners across from each other in this fairly large room. Like it was originally a wraparound porch.
Yeah.
So we're facing each other and I have the camera running next to Sarah. This is one of those instances where I learned, hey, we need to get some kind of lapel mics. But of course, our favorite brand now has a set that I seen last night
clip-on ones.
Yep. That was probably getting at some point.
But my work uses. They're very nice.
But we're looking at getting that next here soon at some point. But as we're sitting there, we got like the Spirit Vox app going and whatnot. We're, you know, doing our introductions of who we are and whatnot. And like shortly after that, we get something popping off.
Delivery.
So that was like the very first Spirit app interaction that we got. I'm also sitting next to the voodoo doll at this point. It doesn't bother me. I have an EMF detector sitting next to it. I have it to where I can see it. My tracer 2 is sitting next to me by the cabinet where there's medical tools, there's bones, there's all sorts of medical artifacts sitting in this cabinet at that point. So it's like we're going on, we're asking questions, whatnot, you know, different things of delivery. You ask like what was delivered, this, that, and the other, and then the next thing that we get that comes through is
uncomfortable. Yeah, we're all uncomfortable as warm as it is in here.
It's very hot in here.
Do you need one of the nurses to come help you?
So but we're sitting there, you know, we're asking questions and whatnot, and then like I said, I'm sitting next to this voodoo doll, then I start getting full body tingles. So and then I getting these full body tingles, and then I say this to Sarah.
But I mean, like, the full body tingles like to do with edibles.
Mm-hmm. Just sitting here.
Clouded. What did it say?
Clouded. I got called out by a ghost.
Yep. What you get?
So after a while asking questions and whatnot, with no responses coming through that, so I make the decision to move to doing Estes method. For those that don't know what the Estes method is, I'm putting a blindfold on. And I have headphones on. I'm sure most of you that have watched my light or the live stream that we did at the Bell Mansion, you saw me doing Estes method while sitting on an embalming table.
Mm-hmm. For those that remember, I called it the Testes method.
The Testes method. Yeah, she always calls it that. So yeah, like, I'm blindfolded. I can't see Sarah. I have my studio headphones on. I have my headphones on from Rode, which I can't hear a damn thing with those on listening to a spirit box. Like, Sarah has to physically come up and tap me on the shoulder to let me know something's going on. So after a while, she's asking, like, when we do this, she asks questions. I can't hear her questions. I can only give her answers that I can hear. So you're going to hear a little bit of clicking, but I also want to warn you that there's going to be some... Well, I'm going to be very loud because I'm compensating because I can't hear anything around me. So I'm being louder. So I tried to normalize it the best I could so it doesn't blow out anybody's ears. So I'm sorry if I do.
Headphones warning.
Okay, she'll ask a question. She'll wait to see if I say anything, and then she'll... as something else possibly related to whatever answer she gets. Mm-hmm. And so out of this Estes method, these two responses actually go with what's the location.
Church. Send a message.
You're by a church, but what building are we in? What did this used to be? What did this building used to be?
Scam.
So yeah, Sarah asked those questions, and I can't hear her ask these questions. And those are the responses I give listening to a spirit box. That little tapping sound you hear in the background, that's the spirit box itself you guys are hearing. That's how loud it is, that it was picking it up from the headphones into that. You also have to remember, this building is quiet. We're the only two in here. Mm-hmm. So there's no other background noise. So we also then go after that. As hot as it is, we go outside. We took a break every 20 to 30-ish minutes.
Yeah, just to hopefully catch a breeze. Mm-hmm.
Because number one priority is to make sure Sarah and I are safe, you know, health-wise. So, yeah. Especially as hot as it was there. So after we get done with our break, we go in and we go sit in Dr. Stimson's office. This is where some idiot realized that he forgot to pack the cord for the camera. So we only had like an hour of video. So our Twitch listeners, that's why there was no real video at all in the previous weeks to watch with you guys on Twitch. But within the video evidence, the Tracer 2 that I've had for a while, it's actually proved itself here. Because in Dr. Stimson's office, there's two doorways. One leading through what's a hallway now to what would have been a porch when it was the hospital. So for those that don't know what the Tracer 2 is, it's about a 6-foot long LED strip that's attached to an infrared sensor that tracks motion and temperature. It will change purple if the room temperature changes by 2 degrees, and it'll turn blue if it lowers by 2 degrees. And there's also a blue LED that bounces down up and down the whole thing while it's turned on. The range of that sensor is only the length of this strip. I turned it on at home so I could test it, so I already knew ahead of time what could possibly trip false positives. I literally stood on the end of it and didn't even detect me there. Because why I'm saying this is because in the video that we did get, Sarah's had already sat down. I'm playing with a children's toy to see how it turns on and how it acts, the functions, to see if we might want to use it. While she's watching me, in the video, the end of the Tracer 2 lights up red for about 3 to 5 seconds, if I remember at this time. We didn't see that one at first. So after I've sat down and we start talking and asking questions and whatnot, Sarah notices it lights up red again. And then in about a minute, it does it again. Mm-hmm. So it's like as if the nurses on evening shift were going out on the front, out on what would have been the porch for an evening break because of the time of day.
Yeah.
Or it could have been, who knows?
And like, needless to say, when we were sat down, we were both very, very still. Mm-hmm. You sat in the particular way you did, and you did not move at all.
Yep.
I did not move at all.
like, for the tracer 2 to go off, you have to physically walk over the top of this strip.
Mm-hmm.
It, you can walk next to it up to a certain distance, and it won't set it off. I think I pretty, like, when I first got it, I think I pretty much had my foot running right next to it, and it didn't set off. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But you have to be fairly close to the range of the infrared sensors that's built into it to set it off. But it, what, went off, the end of the tracer wire went off, what, 4 times?
Yeah.
It's us sitting in there.
And the end of the tracer wire that went off was the piece that was farthest away from us. The end of the 6 feet on the opposite right. end because of that room.
It will light up and the distance at where it tracks. So I'm pretty sure that LED that runs down, or the one that's lit up at the end,
mm-hmm.
is how it tracks the distance. It measures it somehow from there.
Yeah.
So, like, in the video I have, you can see, like, where I clearly walked across it, and it shows where I walked across, because, like, all the stuff, like, number one rule is when you get paranormal investigation equipment is do not turn it on in your own home unless you're ready to live with that information. Right. I turned on every single thing that I've purchased so far, and it's never been a problem here. Yeah. Even thankfully. When I was building a spirit portal, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But not that I'm worried about that.
I don't want that information.
So we're sitting in Dr. Stimson's office. Not much goes on in there. I showed the owners a little bit of clip. They said not much really goes on there. And I showed them that, and I explained it to them what that happens. I said, that's certainly an anomaly. And I gave them permission to post the first clip on their page if they wanted to. Okay. So if you guys are following Stimson Hospital before or after this, maybe you might want to watch. They might post that up there. I might even post it up after this episode goes out. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know what? I probably will put that in the group. So anybody that's listening, it's in the Facebook group.
See what you're talking about.
Yep, because the Bell Mansion stuff, eventually someday we'll get around to that episode.
Yeah, there's a lot to listen to.
Yeah, I know.
And look at in that, though.
We were there for 6 hours, and I had that wrist recorder going the whole time.
Yeah, and the video.
And one time that it shouldn't have been.
Someone caught their piss stream online.
At least I thought I was. I did. I don't know. I haven't listened to the audio. I'm not, honestly. I'm overwhelmed looking at the file that has all the audio in it.
I bet.
So, but other things that we did notice while we were sitting in Dr. Stimson's office, I have an EMF detector from ghost.com called the Rook. So it works different from the one that most people see. Like, in that you can see it clearly in a video turned on, but you can't see it flash like it was. Because it was very faint flashing. Like, I have it set on a tripod, so there's, like, nothing touching it. There's no vibrations going to mess with it and everything. We were noticing that the few times that the Tracer 2 was lighting up, that would flicker a little bit. And anybody that before there's like, oh, it's just EMF interference. The owners have told us that all the wiring that's in this building is inside a conduit. So it is shielded. They literally said, if you pick up anything, it's not supposed to be there because of how the electrical in this building is run through a half inch metal conduit. It's shielded. It's not escaping.
Yeah.
So we ran the spirit box in Dr. Simpson's office. I didn't catch anything off of it with us. Like, you know, I still mentioned we're still learning. And one of the things I learned from like Ghost Adventures, not Adventurers or whatever, not the ones with the taps guys, the ones that's more legitimate. Dave said previous episodes, make sure to review all your evidence, because one, that's how I found out the Tracer 2 went off the very first time and neither one of us saw it the first time. So I only got maybe about an hour, if that, of video because my dumbass forgot to pack the cord for the camera.
You live and you learn.
I know. So yeah, I'm going to make sure to order one, guys, that actually stays in the bag at all times.
And make sure that we charge it before we go.
Well, it was fully charged. The thing is, that camera has an infrared light on it. And infrared takes a lot of power to run. Because when we went to the Bell, I didn't turn it on when we did the live stream. Uh-huh. I made sure to turn it on ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
So that infrared light takes a lot of power, even though there's the one underneath it that does too. Which is weird because that damn thing on infrared all the time, like half the battery will be gone in the 4 or 5 hours we were at Bell with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost dead by the time we left, and it was like on a lot. Like I was using it to see where I was going because I could change the different colors on it. So I left it on red so I could still see in the dark. I can change how the brightness on it and whatnot and all that good stuff. But so of course, as it is how it is, we go outside, we take another break, get some water in us and all this stuff. And then we go upstairs. I don't tell Sarah the direction or where. She knows I was going in the direction of where Adia is.
Mm-hmm.
We could have done other rooms, but we're starting to get really hot. And this isn't anything against the owners. This is just shitty weather, and I picked a bad day. And yes, it's an old building, but that's not on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. It's one of those things we got to deal with and go into these older places. Sarah only watched through FaceTime, so she doesn't have an idea of the layout of upstairs. I do, because I walked through it. She does. So I'm walking her. We walk upstairs. I'm taking her through the rooms and whatnot. So we get to the patient ward where Adia is at, and Sarah doesn't know it. This is the room she's in. I walk in, no problem, as I usually do doing this shit, like normal. And then Sarah comes in and goes, I don't even, like, how far did you
My feet made it to the door frame.
You never crossed the door frame? Yeah, she didn't even make it into the room, and she looked at me, and she said, absolutely not.
Mm-mm. Like, it's hard to explain. It was a very weird feeling, like, as soon as my toes hit that threshold, like, it felt like all of the air in my lungs just fucking depleted.
And
like, I could not catch my breath.
Right. Now, it also wonders that just because of how hot it was and having to travel upstairs, maybe? No. I don't know. It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
This was a whole different kind of...
Whole different.
It sent me into fight or flight.
Yep.
And that's... I don't know if you had seen me, like, after I backed out of that room, after I was like, I shook my head, like, I'm not coming in there.
Yeah.
I had backed up, like, just straight to that wall that was straight on the other side of that room.
Yep.
And stood in the corner, my back pressed to the corner, and was, like, fidgeting and fidgeting and fidgeting until I was like, I can't do this. And that's when I called you to take me back downstairs.
Right.
Never had that feeling.
Right.
In the places that we've been, like, that was first.
Yep.
And I did not like it.
Like, if I remember, I think I even asked you, would you, like, maybe take a small attempt to even step into the room? And she was like, nope.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I spoke words. It just shook my head.
And that was it. I didn't push her any farther than that. I'm not going to be a Zach Bagel Bites about it, or a Dildo Baggins, or whatever nickname you have for that idiot. Go ahead. Sue me for absolutely nothing if you hear this. I'm not the first and only person that's ever called you that name. But anyway.
No.
So Chris told me when we were doing our walkthrough that in that room, this is where the picture was snapped. Oh, one of the other oddities he has is a 400-year-old mirror with that silver backing.
Yeah.
If I knew how to do scrying, I would have done it.
That would be the mirror to use.
I know.
For sure.
It's one of those things that's always interested me. I don't have the experience in it. And if I first would want to learn how to do it, I would want to do it with someone that's experienced until I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yes, that would have been the mirror to do it with.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe before we ever do possibly go back and learn how to do it.
Or we just go back for the paranormal experience.
Hey, that's all part of that too. But anyway.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But anyway, back to this room where Adia, the Indian princess, is.
I can't tell you much about it because,
She saw the room from a distance and then she was it.
Big bitch.
So.
Couldn't, I've never had anything that made me feel like, just stop.
Right. So, like, I've had paranormal experiences in the past, unlike Sarah has. So, like, this is why I'm all like, hey, there are 70 people murdered in this house. Let's fucking go. And she's like, I don't think so. But who knows? Maybe if we do return, maybe she might try again. I'm not going to force her into it. That's up to her.
I mean, I would definitely try again. Right. But if I got that same, like immediate fight or flight, like don't fucking move. Don't enter that room.
Like, nope. When we first started doing this stuff and Sarah talked to me about this stuff, I straight up told her, I'm not going to put you in a spot that I wouldn't go and do myself.
I know.
The problem is...
You went in there yourself.
The problem with that is I don't have a fucking limit now at this point because of other things I did this evening.
Yeah.
Our time there. Something I said I would never do. And I fucking did it, which we're going to get to that. But anyway... You know, or you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the room with Adia by myself. I shut the door because Chris, the owner, said that the room becomes more active when the door shut. But he also said somewhere between 11 and midnight, the whole entire building was quiet. And that's usually, and that correlates with a nurse doing its night rounds. So we're actually approaching 11 o'clock is also part of the problem. So I bring our offerings that I left to Adia. I told her, I asked her for her forgiveness for Sarah that she wasn't able to come in. She doesn't feel comfortable in her. Please forgive her for that. But I do have things from the both of us that I'd like you to have. So I gave her a pack of cigarettes. I gave her a small bottle of whiskey and a small bottle of rum because I did some research ahead of time to see what were common gifts given to Indian royalty ahead of, you know, from approximately 100 years ago. And that was the top three things. So that's what I did. And we have not had any problems since. And it's been almost a month since we've been there.
Yeah, just about.
So she must have been pleased too with what we left. But the interesting thing is, like, I'm asking questions. I get no response and stuff. Like, I can hear. I have this ghost fox tube. Apparently, I didn't know there's a limit day on it daily. A daily limit on it. Found that out while I was up there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh.
Unless you purchase it. Found that out when I was up there with it. And luckily, I had the other one in my pocket. Spirit Box SB7, super small. It's a, yes, it's $100, but super small. It's little, actually smaller than most cell phones. It'll fit in your pocket. So I'm going to highly recommend getting one of those if you guys are considering doing this. I have that in my pocket. I have the Spirit Box going. I'm not hearing anything, but this is also another one of those things to always listen to your audio again after you get it, because you will hear things that you don't pick up the first time. And the next couple clips that I have is exactly that. Everything in the next couple clips, I did not hear it at first. All right.
And I haven't, just so you know, I have not heard the, I've heard one of them.
Because I
wanted, all of these other things I have not heard.
Yep. So this is going to be the first one. And I have an idea what this might be. And I haven't sent to them to see what they think it is.
Okay.
If I remember. So they're going to both these next couple clips, they're going to play twice at normal audio. And the final time will be amplified.
Okay. I heard something, but I couldn't make out what it was.
So, like, I have it labeled as scream, not fun, is what I have this clip sound labeled as.
Oh.
So is it one of the, like, the things I heard is children and women crying is also at this hospital. Is that what it caught? My first thought, maybe it was the sound of Dr. Blanchard falling down the elevator shaft. But that was also in the front of the hospital from down there. But still, you would possibly still hear it.
Right.
From where that was at. But who is not fun? Or not fun?
Right.
Is it Adia talking to me or whatnot? Because I don't even, I'll be honest, I don't remember what question I even asked.
Yeah.
I don't even think I asked a question because I just let it run.
Yeah.
Just to see what would come through. If you see if anybody would say anything, so I could ask questions. So here's our next one.
That just sounds like somebody yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like somebody falling and yelling.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I have it labeled as falling. Yeah.
Oh, that gave me bubble guts.
Because of how I have it labeled?
No. Just that sound, period.
Yeah. So that could be possibly Dr. Blanchard falling down the elevator shafts. And like, yeah. I thought, because I had my ideas of which ones are mixed up by the, how I have them labeled.
Oh.
So who knows? Maybe I need to send them that one and see what they think.
Maybe. I mean, I would.
So, like, I was also wrong. I still had the Ghost Fox app still running for this next one. This is the one I had Sarah listen to ahead of time. And we are having differences on what it is. Like, I'm going to play it, and then we are going to discuss it. Do you want to go first what you think it is?
I hear, okay, I see.
So, and I think it's, oh, I can't see. Because in that room, I had my light on. On a dresser, and it's facing the direction of Adia. and it's on full brightness so I can see.
Yeah.
Because this is a room with the four-post bed, and it was pretty dark in there because they have some pretty heavy curtains on the windows.
Yeah.
There's still some light going in, but I wanted to be able to see where the bed was, where her table was, and so I didn't bump into it or anything yeah. like that. Of course, I would have picked up everything and apologized for it and everything. Or calling Chris immediately. Like, I just fucking did this. What do I fucking do to keep her from getting upset?
Yeah.
Probably would have heard squealing tires within 3 minutes at that point. Like, oh my God. And
how dare him you?
Hanging out the window screaming and tires squealing. Probably not. But he'd probably be like, okay, this is what you need to do. But no. So I think it's okay. Oh, I can't see because I have the light on and it's facing her in her direction.
Like you were blinding her.
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe that's why she didn't want to interact with me.
You play it one more time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see. Okay, I see. Okay, I see. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I still hear okay, I see. Okay,
so maybe I'm wrong. So the next one, of course, I ask a question. I'm asking Adia if, do you like what I brought you? Just another headphone warning.
Are you happy with what I brought you? Are you happy with what I brought you?
So I can tell you that second set, that's me moving.
The first, that wasn't you?
Nope, because the entire time I'm standing in this room, I was either sitting on the bed or I was standing.
Okay.
That probably was the time when I was standing in there, because at one point I'm standing next to her table. Mm-hmm. I am looking across the window and I am seeing a silhouette against the window of the shape of what could possibly be a pregnant woman.
Oh.
But it also could have been one of the lights catching the post from one of the beds because of their shape. But I honestly yeah. don't think that's what it was. Because I started moving the look, and usually when you move the look at shadows, they move with it, and uh-huh. it was not moving.
Huh.
So this would have been the first time I've seen some kind of apparition of sorts. Like, it didn't move or anything. It was just there. It cut, like I said, just because of the shape of it and the post of those beds, it could have been a shadow casted by that. But
right.
I honestly don't think that's what it was. I honestly think it was the shadow shape of a pregnant woman looking out the window.
Did you have light behind any of those, the four corners?
From what I remember, the light was directly facing in the direction of Adia, but I don't remember what the spread.
Then it wouldn't be casting a shadow towards the window.
It might have to do. I might have to run some kind of test with my light again, because I don't know what the spread of that light is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the light that I have is like a 3, is like a 4x4 square. A 4x4 square. Yeah. LED light is what this is, because for those who don't see, if you want to see the light that I'm looking at, go to ghost.com and look up the Phasm light. This is the light that I have. That I have, like, it attaches to my camera. But I forgot my cord. So that's back in the bag. I'm just using the light because I know how long it lasts. And I'm using it to light my way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also couldn't find my mag light that has a red light filter on it either before we went there. So with that. So I honestly don't, from what I can remember, right, there was no red light in that direction. It's been over a month. I'm pretty confident to say that there was no red light in the direction of that window. Okay. If there had been red light in that direction of the window, it could have been one of the bedposts, which I honestly don't think it was, because I was standing there staring at it to see, trying to determine, is it the shadow of a bedpost, or am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? This was something I kept from you this whole time because I wanted your reaction when we talked about this.
Something to try and remake next time we go. Because I know we'll go again.
Right. And they also will be one of those things to make, you know, things to retry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll still try and do some kind of test here with it to try and see if we can create a shadow of some sort.
Yeah.
But also, there's one more clip from this room also before I came downstairs, before I did my finale and pushed myself past my limits.
You play it again.
Yep.
I can't make it out.
I'm hearing my friends. Like, as in there's this somebody having a traumatic experience from losing multiple people that they knew, as in their friends, is a possibility of what that was. And this being a hospital, car accidents, train accidents, all sorts of things, mass casualty of sorts. You know, this is where everybody in Eaton Rapids area is going to come to because it's the closest hospital before you get to Lansing or wherever the next town is that might have a hospital.
Can you play one more time?
Yep.
Okay, I hear it that time. That's interesting. Where did that came from?
The last four clips. Wait, let me see. Yeah, the last four clips that I played, five clips actually, all came from that room. This is with the door shut. I just let it run, and I just sat there and listened to it. And all of those, I did not hear the first time. So
it pays to replay.
Yep. And also, it's because I'm not focused on what's going on around me because of how hot it is. It's like trying to pay attention to what is my limit that I need to get out of this room and go try and cool down.
Yeah. And it wasn't very long before you came downstairs too. Yeah. So
like you said, this is nothing against them. It was just a bad look of the draw on weather. Like, we even opened windows and.
Yeah. And it was just as bad here. So.
Yep. So, and before, like, I had talked to Sarah about it, it's like, I want to try it. And she's like, what do you want to try? I said, I want to try the basement. She's like, but I was going by myself. I knew at this point, Sarah was done.
Yeah.
You know, she has tapped out because of how hot it was. She couldn't, I wasn't going to try and push her to go anywhere else after that. I could tell she was just done.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to be like, let's go, because she knew, like, we had a lot of time, but I wanted to at least explore all avenues of the building on our first run here. So, yes, one thing I said I would never probably do in my life, I actually did. I went into the basement of the Stimson Hospital by myself with my camera and my REM pod and my Tracer 2 alone.
Holy shit.
Did I absolutely fucking hate walking down that hallway by myself. So, like, during our tour, the owner, Chris, he told us this room's a cafeteria for what it was. And across the hallway was this little room, was a shower room. Like, you know, he gave us a whole tour of the building and whatnot. And he took us in the boiler room, which, the first sighted boiler room, it's hot as hell. No, it was the coolest spot in that the whole time, other than being in the car with the air conditioner on, which the basement was. I mean, it's a basement. It's below ground level. It's going to be cooler.
Yeah.
But it being a boiler room. But these are newer, higher efficient boiler rooms compared to one that was in there originally was built. So all that heat's not going to actually exist. It was actually nice and cool in there. Very important factor of all this. Okay. So there's no windows in this room. I'm in pitch black by myself looking at this doorway. He did tell us that if you want to have some fun, sit in the doorway that goes in the boiler room, because that's where people get their hair pulled. People get touched. This is also the room where tactile devices go off more, being REM pods, motion sensors, sound sensors, so on and so forth. This is the room to do it with. So I took my Tracer 2 down there with me. I had it set up. It did detect a temperature change, but that more or less could be because it's settling out. But then again, it only popped off once. The temperature only popped off one other time when I first set it up in the main lobby. And then when we had the Stimson's office, the temperature change didn't ever change in there. It never, because when the temperature change, the color runs down the entire strip. Sarah has seen it. Yeah. You guys won't know unless you've seen it. And me, like I said, I'll probably make a compilation of a video and sometime post it to the Facebook group so everybody can see this, and probably put it to the YouTube also for you guys also.
Yeah.
But I'm in the basement by myself. I know I'm the only person down there. They even said, make sure to shut the door or the neighbor's cat might come join you and scare the shit out of you. So I made sure to shut the door behind me before the cat made an entrance, which would have been super helpful because, you know, cats see beyond the veil and whatnot and all that stuff. But anyway, I'm in the boiler room by myself and I keep hearing this like tapping sound. So I turn my light on. I'm looking, okay, there's like nothing leaning in the walls from what I can remember that could be making this tapping sound. There's no train tracks. I mean, there's a road nearby. So Sarah's on FaceTime with me, one, to see what's going on, and two, for my safety in case I trip and fall, because he did point out there are spots where you can easily trip and fall in this basement. So it was more of a safety thing than anything else. So yeah. She also witnessed what could go on. So I set my camera up. I'm facing the door that he talks about sitting in. I set the REM pod down on the door. The video you guys will see today, well, that was released yesterday with this as a teaser, that 10-second clip of that REM pod was the most interaction that I got with that REM pod down there. It did go off a second time, but not nearly as long as that video. That video that I posted yesterday is like 14 seconds long. That first 4 seconds is just that little bit of an intro, and the rest of it is just that REM pod going off,
mm-hmm.
which he've also said in other videos that they do have somewhat of a trickster, and I forgot to add that in there because now that makes more sense. He's hiding. So in the beginning part of our clips, I forgot to clip it out that we got on a response of was he's hiding. I assumed it was one of the possible children that were hiding in the, you know, hospital. And I told him, it's like, you can come out. You don't have to be scared of us.
Uh-huh.
So who knows? Maybe that's what that was one of the, could be a possible child spirit letting me know he was there, coming out and touching.
It could be.
Come slowly, come the way that how slow that lights up. Yeah. And how strong it gets by the end. That was him slowly creeping out, checking to see, you know, see if I'm watching him or whatnot. And then he realizes me and then disappears.
Could be.
Like, we even, with the tapping sound, we even did some live debunking on the fly because I could hear traffic
mm-hmm.
from where I was in the basement. I'm not 100% sure where in the basement this is.
That would have been like under the front stairs.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty close because I was able to hear traffic from where I was at. So Sarah would tell me when a car was about to go by. I never heard the tapping. Like, she would say, there's a car coming. I would listen for the car. I would listen for the tapping. Nothing. This tapping would only go on when there was no cars or anything going by. And it was basically like, but more of a plastic sound.
That's weird.
Like, I don't even think I have anything.
And there wasn't a lot of, there weren't a lot of things out there that would make that noise.
In there? No, there wasn't. Even rewatching videos for research on whatnot for information on this,
mm-hmm.
I don't recall, like, some of those were 2-3 years old. But yeah. Still, that's like a utility room. It's not going to change a whole lot.
Right.
I didn't even recall seeing anything in there, in the videos there, that could have possibly done it. But yeah, that plastic sound, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how well that picks up the mic. That's basically what it sounded like, but a lot quieter.
I remember you telling me or asking me if I could hear that tapping, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything.
Like, she thought maybe be a washer and dryer from the one tenant that still lives in there. He's on the opposite side of the building behind a cinder block wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't him. But also, one thing I also did say, I'm in a basement. I kept feeling this cold breeze go by my right side. I'm down here by myself, and there's a cold breeze in this basement. There's no fans, like, the boilers, I know they're all off to my left with mm-hmm. the water heaters. They're in front of me. And this is off on my right side where there's like stuff being stored and whatnot. It's like, okay. But also, one of the things that also happened while I was down there, I started feeling sick to my stomach. Yeah. You remember me telling you that?
I remember you telling me that.
And I stood up and I shifted or something. I don't remember exactly if it was standing up, shifting, whatnot. It went away instantly. So I stuck down there a little bit longer. Then I started to think about it. I was like, okay, maybe I can push my limit a little bit more and I'll sit in the doorway with my back to the hallway.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, because now I'm staring into the dark room where I can't see anything and I'm down here by myself. If Sarah had probably been down there, even though I wouldn't have probably been able to see her, but knowing she was down there with me, I probably would have done it. That was
not time, McFly.
That was the time I decided, okay, I pushed my limit already entering a basement of a paranormal, you know, a haunted location by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not get too crazy with it.
Yeah.
There was more than the basement, but by this point, it was almost 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're already exhausted from
the heat alone.
The heat alone, what it was. Like, she already knows. I would have probably kept going to probably 2, maybe 3 at that point.
Yeah.
So, but
you were whipped by the heat. The heat too.
Was my biggest enemy for me for staying.
Yeah.
So that, and after my basement adventure down there, that's when we decided to call it a night at the Stimson Hospital. So from our conclusion with what we've heard and everything, we would love to return.
Yeah. On a cooler day.
Definitely on a cooler day. So we both can be more focused on the environment around us, be more open to the hospital to.
Yeah.
see what can be seen, what can be heard, and all that stuff.
Maybe even in the spring or the fall time.
Yep.
Definitely not in the fucking summer.
Maybe the middle of fucking winter.
Well, then they'll have the heat running.
Maybe. Who knows? But that's a completely different heat than what we were dealing with in summer.
I know. I'm just being stupid.
I know.
Yeah, that was an inescapable heat. It was hot as shit in there. You go outside, it is hot as shit out there. There is no air moving.
Right. But
it was a good time, but that part was not a good time.
Right. So now, with another one done, we're both getting more comfortable with this. I've actually been approached by one of my other coworkers about wanting to shadow us at one place and help pay for the cost. Because he's interested in doing this. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, as long as you help pay and get your own way there and get your own room.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to come shadow. Or don't be afraid to ask questions and whatnot with it.
Yeah.
You know. Because him and his fiance are interested in starting doing this on their own thing, so they want to go with somebody that has some experience in their own equipment and just observe, basically. So I've offered the invitation to him, and I told him if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be this place, but don't expect it to be like the TV shows.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that's played up for TV.
Oh, yeah.
And we have both seen a lot of that now.
Uh-huh.
That it's like zero interest in watching that shit anymore. Hell, there is even one show on Netflix I even pointed out to Sarah that I caught fucking faking evidence on a REM pod.
The only one that I would continue to watch would be the Ghost Hunters.
The Taps guys?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because they are legitimately into, because they're the only ones that seem like legitimate about it. Mm-hmm. Like Jason Hawes, he goes live on Facebook from time to time to discuss this stuff. But yeah. Unfortunately, I never catch it. Or I, like, when I do realize he's live, I'm already involved with doing podcasts, or I'm doing some things on Twitch, or about to do things on Twitch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you guys are looking at doing investigation, you know, you have your own stuff, you want a small location that's priced fairly decent, even though we, you know, had ours won by auction.
Well, we still had to pay the money.
Right, I know. We had to pay a small upcharge because of them moving it to accommodate us for being on a weekend. So they, you know, they upped it a little bit, which wasn't a big deal for us either. From even like what he explains, what he's paid for some other places, like I think it was what Trans Allegheny, mm-hmm. $3,000 per person for there.
It's craziness.
No. I don't know if that was just for a public investigation or something.
That was probably private.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot of building.
Uh-huh.
But it's a pretty good sized building for about five people to do an investigation, maybe your first time doing it. You know, follow them on Facebook. They do have some public investigations they do throughout the year, and they do mm-hmm. have some other small events to help raise money for them to restore the building back to its original condition as much as they can.
Definitely a good cause if you wind up buying, you know, an investigation, whether it be personal or a private investigation or just part of a random ass group of people, because you'll still have fun with that.
Right.
So, I know we did with the Bell Mansion the first time we went with all of those random people, even though we wound up in a group of like 30 people at the end.
Yeah. The night, everybody's just like, oh my God, what's going on in here? And it just, that's how it happened. But, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then when we went to do the more intimate, or I guess, or whatever you want to call it, when it was only limited to 15 people. And if you ever built the Bell Mansion, and that's a big building, for 15 people, like, we had to go seek out other people by listening to what they were doing.
Listening to the beeps and the REM pods going
using
off.
The REM pods and whatnot, and the shouted out answers from Estes methods as a homing beacon to find where somebody was.
Yeah.
And everybody was pretty cool about you coming in. They'd be like, if they had like a cat ball out or something. Sorry, Kevin, I know how much you hate those things. But they'd be like, hey, just heads up, there's a cat ball right there by your foot. I'm like, cool, all right. So, you know, so I don't want to ruin anything for them. But everybody, when we were at that bell that one time, everybody was pretty chill about just you hanging back. But even though I think those people got a little upset when we returned upstairs to go talk to Andy.
Oh, yeah, they wound up leaving the room.
Yeah, I think they were upset that they were trying to get him to talk and he wouldn't talk to him. And then I said, hey, Andy, how's it going? And all their shit just lit up.
Could be.
Yeah, probably what it was. Like, we went in there with the intent to just observe. But, you know, I asked him, like, how's he going? How's it going with Andy? He's like, he's not really talking. So I was like, hold on, let me try. I was like, hey, Andy, we're back. And then, like, their EMF detector, their REM pod, it just squealed. Went
crazy. Changed.
It went from like the green to purple, you know, the max. It just went all over the place. Like, he was super excited to see us come back up. But that'll be another episode for another day once I can finally get motivated to listen to all the audio.
There's a lot for that one. That was hours and hours of being there.
So, one thing I did not talk about, but this is something that Sarah and I had talked about, and I have talked to you, a couple of you, about this. I know you guys listen. So that voodoo doll that I sat next to for about 20 minutes. We are still almost a month away since we've been there. So you must also understand that voodoo is not like what it is you see in the movies. Like, oh, this person's like done harm to me, I'm going to stab this pin in their neck and make them have neck pain. So no, voodoo is actually meant to heal people. Ever since I have sat with this voodoo doll for what, 30 minutes it was?
Maybe.
If that, I have felt completely different. It's weird. I don't know how to put it. I feel like a more...
Woo! Shit!
Who was it?
Salem! So all I felt was the end of his fucking tail crawl across my leg. Like, what? Sorry.
You gotta leave that in.
God damn.
So, Sarah was just scared by her boy, Salem.
I didn't even know he was in here.
I didn't either until you just
the screamed. Faintest little, all the way across my leg.
So, as I was saying, I have felt a more positive way recently. I have also, like, I've been more observant to myself since we have been there. Like, I have not really felt a whole lot of knee pain or anything like that at work. Before we went, I was like, I know I need to buy new insoles from work, boomer issues, because my knees start hurting by the end of the day. And that's been, it's still there, but not nearly as bad. And like, and I didn't touch the doll because of its age or anything. I didn't even ask if we could. I was going to, for what it represents, I was going to respect it. I'm not going to touch it. I mean, I did take a picture of it. That was my extent of it. And putting my EMF detector next to it, and
yeah.
Like, I've felt more positive since then. It's almost been a month away. It's been almost a month since we've been there. Like, I haven't had nearly as much knee pain by the end of the day when I've gone, you know. And then there's been a couple times I got out to mow the lawn. I've just been felt like not nearly as my ass kicked, but other than when it's been fucking hot. But still, just I feel have felt completely different ever since I've been in close proximity of it.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Now it makes sense why you said I should have had you sit next to the voodoo doll.
Maybe next time.
Next time. For show.
It's like, I didn't even ask it of anything. I just sat next to it. Yeah. Just asking questions for call and response with Spirit Box and stuff like that. Like, I just sat next to it and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't any, like, interaction. There wasn't much talking to it or any, you know.
Like, I didn't expect anything to come from it, though. I wanted to put an EMF detector next to it just to see, you know, just to see what would happen, you know. But with all that said, I think it's time we get out of the Emporium for the day, sir. What do you think?
I agree. Got a cat's ass to go kick for scared me.
Yep. So until next time.
Remember to creep it real.
And stay spooky.
Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.